I'm very honored that we have a doctor in the house. See what I did there? That's the... See what I did?
How did you go from being a chiropractor? Like, what made you become a chiropractor? Was it a personal issue or was something that was missing in your life? Or how did you get there?
So, that's Riyadh's best question to date, actually. Really good question.
The biggest challenge was breaking the mold of what everyone was used to. There's no way I could have done everything by myself, for sure. I knew my strengths, and that wasn't a strength of mine, but it was a super important area of the business to make sure it's successful. Tech's neck, that's an actual term, Google it. Your neck gets so jacked up and problematic. Tech's neck is a real thing, and there's a lot of research around it, and the bad part is that it's affecting a younger population.
So when you say wellness, what kind of different services besides chiro do you guys provide?
Great question. So we got chiropractic, we got physiotherapy, kinesiology, athletic therapy, massage therapy, naturopathy, acupuncture, naturopathy, massage therapy, did I say? No, I don't think I did.
Oh, no, that's a new one.
Osteopathy, something else-opathy, you know, that-opathy, you know, so something along those lines.
Eat-opathy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Eat-opathy. I'll look into that.
Welcome back to the If You Build It podcast. I'm here with Will Ellis, Saman Habibi, and I'm Riyadh Ali.
Thank you for joining in once again for another
joining
episode.
In. I like that.
You like that?
Ew.
Thank you. I've been working on that.
I don't think you've ever let him finish a sentence in the beginning. You know?
I try to trip him up, but he's so good. Not being tripped up.
As always, if you've enjoyed our previous episodes, thank you for coming back. Please make sure to like, subscribe, drop any comments, questions you have, and we'll address them directly.
I'm very honored that we have a doctor in the house. See what I did there? That's the... See what I did? That's so good. Dr. Sheldon Suk.
Yes.
Right? Clinical director and owner of Rosedale Wellness Center in Toronto and... Toronto. Just Toronto. Thank you for joining.
Thank you very much for having me, fellas.
Well, we're here. Tell us about your business and what you do, and we'll ask some questions based on that.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you again, guys, for having me. It's really humbling that, I'd be asked to join you guys on something like this and never really considered it. But about my business, it's a wellness center, and we employ about, as of right now, I think we have about 40 staff members or so. We're just there to help our community, you know, reach their potential when it comes to health and wellness. Not a lot of people understand what wellness really is. And we feel like we're leaders in that field in our community in terms of helping people to just really, you know, achieve their optimal health and optimal wellness, live a healthy life where, they're fully independent, fully functional, and, you get to enjoy a lot of things and attain a lot of the goals that you guys all have, right? So we just try to contribute a little bit, and we're just fortunate to be in a great city.
So what do you do exactly? Like, what's your role there?
Great question. So I'm a chiropractor by trade, and with respect to what I do, I'm probably doing a little bit of everything, you know. As you guys know, running your own business and everything, whatever needs to be done, you just kind of roll up your sleeves and you go and do it. But my main job is to be the clinical lead at the clinic and get people's goals, understand what they're coming in for and seeking help and questions about, and directing them to the people on our team that'll best get their goals, right? So I do a little bit of triage, I do some treatment, do some talking with guys like you guys, so that's kind of my role. I kind of try to do a little bit in of everything that's needed to help our business flourish.
So when you say wellness, what kind of different services besides chiro do you guys provide?
Great question. So we got chiropractic, we got physiotherapy, kinesiology, athletic therapy, massage therapy, naturopathy, acupuncture, naturopathy, massage therapy, did I say? No, I don't think I did.
Oh, no, that's a new one.
Osteopathy, something else-opathy, that-opathy, so something along those lines. But
eat-opathy? Yeah, I like that one.
Eat-opathy. I'll look into that.
You can hire Will.
As you can tell, I do enjoy eating.
It sounds like you guys all like to eat.
We do.
So that's what we have under our roof, and we're really blessed with some fantastic practitioners, and really lucky.
Wellness, something about wellness, and that people have different definitions of wellness.
Yes.
What, as a trained professional,
yes,
is your definition of wellness?
Great question. So wellness is the daily habit of living healthy and your best life. So that is what wellness is, okay? And we try to help guide people through education, through rehab, through therapy, whatever means that they're coming in for to get them there, right? And everyone has different goals, right? So, you know, a huge part of what we do is understanding, what are you here for? Okay, there's many, many different people and places you can go to, but why did you come here? What are you looking for, right? So we try to dig a little deeper in terms of what's bringing them in and, you know, how we can help, right? We're just a small cog in the wheel, and we try to contribute wherever we can, right? And we approach it humbly. We approach it with our full efforts and always with the patient's goals in mind and helping them get to where they want to get to, right? So, yeah.
But why do people, you know, come to your clinic, like Rosedale? Like what attracts them there? Or what are some of the responses you get from your clients?
Yeah, you know, I think the number one reason, or at least from a marketing standpoint, when we check out our stats as to where people are coming from, it's actually coming from existing patients, right? So for us, that's the cheapest form of marketing, right?
But it's the same for us as realtors. Like repeat referral is our biggest business.
Absolutely, right? And I think at the end of the day, that just speaks volumes about, you know, your efforts and what you've done and how you've just contributed a little bit into their lives, right? So yeah, that's kind of, I don't know, that's where they're coming from. That's what they're seeking. And I guess, you know, they hear good things from their friends and family who are coming in and they want to kind of get to the same spot, right? So and again, you know, it's really humbling that they would come.
So is this a practice that you started from ground up, or did you purchase this practice?
Yeah. So I purchased this practice
that was my next question.
I purchased this practice back in 2018 with a good friend of mine. So I'm actually a co-owner with one of my best friends. His name is John. Shout out to John. And, you know, we've been friends since we were like grade 10 or something like that. Wow, and then okay. we lived together in university, and we've always kind of talked about, you know, what are we going to do when we're older? You know, that conversation you have. And he always had that entrepreneurial spirit, and I did as well. And we actually invested in some real estate together, and we got to working together on a non-friend level thing, and we did well, you know, like we did pretty well. Right. So that turned into talking about, hey, let's look into our own thing. You know, do we want to do health? We're looking into like pizza shops. We're looking at franchising out of Firkin at one point, right? So all this stuff. And then I was working at this clinic for about 6 or 7 years at the time. And then I guess in a retirement plan for the existing owner and founder. And then he just approached me and he goes, listen, I'm about to exit. What do you think? I said, let's do it, man. Let's find a way to make it happen, right? So, and then I spoke with my buddy John, and John was all game for it too. And he goes, you know, he really believes in health as well, right? Like he's a guy who likes to live healthy, and he likes to practice what we preach at the clinic. And so it was a easy transition for him and I to just be, yeah, let's go and do it, right?
So you talk about entrepreneurial, how you had that mindset that you wanted to do that.
Yes.
But how did you go from being a chiropractor? Like what made you become a chiropractor? Was it a personal issue, or was it something that was missing in your life, or how did you get there?
That's the best question today, actually. A really good question.
He's been asking some good questions.
He has been on fire today. I don't know what's going on. It's summer, and he came in here like doing cartwheel early. He was so excited. He gardened all day.
That's heat wave.
That's it, the gardening.
had a good workout. He gardened. He had a good day.
Sorry, Riyadh. So to answer your question, with respect to my personal, I guess, entrepreneurial journey, you know, my parents, they had their own business growing up, and my parents were very adamant that it was a family business. So we all had to contribute, right? Mm. And growing up, I at first didn't want to go into being a professional. Yeah, I want to do my own thing. But my, you know, immigrant parents, you got to be an accountant, doctor, lawyer, or something like that. I'm pretty sure you guys have all heard the story as well.
Yep.
And so, yeah, you know, I want to be a doctor in some capacity. So, chiropractic was something that interested me at an early age. talked about it with some people at church and stuff like that, and thought, man, that's pretty cool. You know, that's pretty cool. And so medicine was also part of my my plan. That was, you know, I think a lot of us who get into being dentists and stuff like that, non-MDs, that was our original goal. And then for one reason or another, you just kind of explore different options and you say, yeah, that's pretty cool, you know. So that's how I got into it. And then after I you know, while I was in school, I always kind of knew that I was going to run my own show. I wanted to, you know, and I always said, you know, my parents moved here from many, many years ago, and their dream is being lived through my siblings and I, you know. And so I want to fulfill that dream, and I want to make sure that their efforts moving here and sacrificing everything that they did sacrifice was, you know, not going to waste, right? So, and that was kind of drilled in my head, like, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. So, just kind of, got lucky, God oversaw a lot of it, and just happened to be at the right place at the right time, you know?
You know, on your website, it says, beside your name, I think it says blah, 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 your title, whatever. It says posture.
Yes.
What do you see? Like, I think posture is a big thing because people are on their phones constantly.
Yes.
Their computers. Like, what are the issues that you're seeing come, you know, across your desk each
yeah.
day?
Yeah. So, you know, the common issues that we get are people with upper back pain, neck pain,
upper
headaches.
Back. Yeah. What is upper right? back pain?
Upper back pain is, people like to call it shoulders, right? Up right. here. But this yeah. is officially your upper back, right? And the upper traps, we'll just right. call them, right? So it's all just being hunched over. Samad, you just did the posture. Yeah. yeah.
This,
you
know, this one.
The Mr. Burns posture, yeah. right? That we're all guilty of, right? And so, you know, that's I would say, the majority of the cases that I deal with. People come in wanting some relief, right? They've tried this, they've tried that, they've tried exercise, they've tried this cream, they've tried this magic potion. It's not magical at all. And then they come in wanting to see, okay, what the heck is going on here? You know, right. there has to be something. I'm too young to be experiencing something like this. And all these cascade of events that happen as a result of my, you know, whatever's going on. So we do a very thorough assessment, try to get to the underlying issues. And most of the time it isn't just muscle, right? So there's a lot more to it. Your body is naturally designed to adapt to the constant stimulation that you apply to it, right? Right. So just like when we exercise, our bodies are gonna adapt, and you're gonna get a lot of muscles or whatever your goals are. Well, it does that negatively too, right? So that's why, you know, in terms of my online thing, I just wrote posture dysfunction and yes. you know, postural correction. That's what we try to work on, because it's a big thing. It's a big thing these days with the computers and phones and iPads and technology. You know?
And you're just saying your body is just used to it being hunched over.
Yes. Yes.
I find that very interesting, because so how do you rectify that then? If you see someone that's on a phone, what you give them, like a daily plan of what they need to do, stretches or yes. whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a combination of things, right? So ultimately speaking, you know, your muscles adapt, but also your spine. Okay, so the spine is the foundation of where your muscles attach to, right? If you don't have something to, like, you need something to build a house on, right? You need something for muscles to attach to. Right. And that's where your spine comes into play. Right. But your spine also provides a lot of it's a very, very important piece of the body, because it's the highway that connects your brain to the rest of your body. OK. Right. And so the spine has to be in a pretty good spot shape. Right. Spine's meant to be flexible, but because of inactivity, because of age, because of old injuries, our bodies become very rigid and stiff. OK. And that limits your ability to fulfill, you know, your daily life, right? Your independence gets lost, right? So people, once they start to notice my independence is getting affected, my activities of daily living are getting affected, that's when they want some answers, right? So we'll do a thorough assessment, assess what's going on with their spine, and then we'll usually provide a recipe or a combination of things of, you need to get your spine worked on, you need to do some stretches, and you need to get stronger, right? The reality is that, you know, we're so inactive that our bodies become so weak. And then when you're asked to do gardening, right, for like 3 hours in a row,
3 hours a day.
Yeah, 3 hours a day, right?
Daily, 7 days a week.
21 hours a week.
Yeah, there you go, right? You can't do it because your body's just not used to it. It's not strong enough, right? So it's not flexible enough. So that's when people are like, okay, yeah, something's up here, and I gotta get some better answers as to what's going on here.
But at the beginning, you were saying that you know, your job is to assess people that come in and guide them to who they need to see, yes. Right? So are you the main person who's doing that intake of new clients and deciding where everyone goes, or do you have a couple people that do that?
Yeah, ideally speaking, I'd like to be the only person and main person, but no, we do. We have a handful of people that do it, and basically the main people who see who do that triaging kind of stuff are the chiropractors and the physios, right? And we work really closely together because everyone that comes in needs a combination of stretching and flexibility and strength-based stuff, right? So, yeah. So we work really closely with them, and super important for us to be on the same page. And so, yeah, we do a lot of that kind of, you know, co-management of people.
Question about the business. So, yes. Will Simon and I, you know, when we started real estate, we started from ground up. You bought into a business.
Yes.
What was the biggest challenge when buying into a business?
Great question.
Joseph, was that a good question? Thank you.
Yeah. So it's... You know, it's, I mean, I think every business has its own challenges, right? And
right.
For us, the biggest challenge was breaking the mold of what everyone was used to, right? Here we are, the outgoing owner was like 60 years old. John and I were in our mid-30s, early 30s at the time, and we're young bucks at the time. And here we are, I don't know, I guess... People just like they don't like change, right?
Yeah,
people don't like change. It's not really their appetite for it. So I think that new perspective, the new energy, and just little tweaks to doing things that were established for many, many years was the hardest thing. And then for John and I, myself, or personally, I would say living that business life, you know, just like you're married to it, right? So, you know.
The question for you, has the demographics changed of the people that went to the clinic with the previous owners to you guys there now?
I think naturally just it did in terms of our community.
Okay.
And not because we were younger, were we, you know, gathering more people that were younger. But you know, that whole area just kind of changed, right? Yeah. And a lot of condos came up. And you guys know Yonge and Bloor, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot of action that was happening there. So a lot of younger millennials, older millennials, right? And then the baby boomers and Gen X people were kind of moving out. And same thing with the corporate environment there, right? There was a lot of quote unquote restructuring happening, and you'd wipe out a lot of the old and bring in some young, fresh blood with that are, you know, cheaper, I guess, from a corporate standpoint. So I think that's the main reason why we saw a demographic change rather than, you know, anything that we did specifically.
So on the business front, right? So you guys purchased a practice.
Yes.
You were working there, so you were kind of aware of the operations and what they were doing. Your partner John, does he have a business background?
He has a business background, and he's not a healthcare practitioner. And the clinic, the way it was before, we were actually a lot larger, right? Pre-COVID, we were a lot larger. So seeing some of the challenges that the previous owner had, and you know, he was the solo person, he was the decision maker, he was everything, right? So everything came through him. And so I knew, like, there's no way I can do all that. There's no way I can do all that and still be a father and a husband and everything else, right? So you know, when we set up our kind of partnership, it was more like, you're going to do all the corporate finance marketing stuff. I'm going to take care of all the clinical operations, you know, day-to-day stuff. And I really don't know how we could have done it otherwise, right? Like, there's no way I could have done everything by myself, for sure. So it's yeah.
How do you know that?
I know myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know myself, you know. And I'm
being
honest.
Don't have that kind of confidence, I guess, in others.
Yeah.
To say, you know, I trust you enough to do this.
Yeah, and you know what? Ultimately speaking, I think for me, I'm very comfortable not being the smartest in a room, and very rarely am I anyway, right? So it's more like listen. The marketing side of things is super important, right? Social media presence super important these days, right? Like even a financial statement, you know, like I don't know anything like that. That's I took grade 10 accounting. That's the extent of my knowledge on that, you know? Yeah. So other than that, you know, but it's super important to run a business, right? And again, having that experience of seeing my parents run a business, obviously way smaller and less, what do you call it, impactful on multiple people's lives, you just kind of know what's needed, right? And so, I knew my strengths, and that wasn't a strength of mine, but it was a super important area of the business to make sure it's successful. And, you know, had a great resource in one of my best friends to take care of that, right? So
you guys made a decision to scale down the headcount to reduce. And yeah. Did you guys do that? Did you know that would keep your returns, your numbers the same? Did your numbers come down a little bit? Like, because I'm just asking, because typically, you know, you're buying a business, mm-hmm. you're investing capital into it, mm-hmm. and you got to obviously get your money back. Mm-hmm. So reducing headcount obviously either takes longer or your just margins are going to grow. So you guys make that decision. So what was the comfort point to say it's okay to scale down on headcount? Mm-hmm. You know, was your quality going to get better?
You know what? It was not really in our, it wasn't a conscious decision to do that. And it was really COVID. COVID did that, okay. Right?
So I was about to ask, when did it happen?
Yeah, so, yeah. It was really COVID, right? So our thing in our first 6 months was just let everything be the way it has been. Actually, the first year, right? And realistically, it probably would have gone on for 2 years for us to just kind of continue with the way things were. And then COVID happened, right? So it was COVID that kind of did that. And then we just had to, you know, go back to the drawing board and just think, what are we going to do here, man? You mm-hmm. know, like we're down 90% of our business, you know, we have great staff and got a lot of mouths to feed here, right? So how are we going to do this? And so, you know, COVID presented an opportunity where it was just, you know, unlike any other in good and bad ways. And the way we did it was just like, you know, we really just hope for the best and prepared mm-hmm. for the worst when it came to practitioners and staff leaving. And if we felt like we were over kind of overpopulated in one department, we'd just be like, cool, we won't replace them. We'll just keep the staff going or the team going. And we've always been blessed with such strong practitioners. And that's a bread and butter of our business, right? Like we have great people, and we've always been really, really, really lucky to have that blessing, really.
And how do you maintain that staff? What keeps them there?
That, you know what? That's the hardest part. That is the absolute hardest part. I know that's a question you're going to ask,
yes,
Will.
Yes, okay. It's hardest part of your business. Yeah, thank you, okay. Mark.
So
you. I helped you out.
You, for once, thank you.
You can see through paper too, man. Yeah, you're a wizard.
Yeah. No, skilled. But
that is the hardest part. It's managing the people, right? And making sure like everyone's goals, personal goals and all that kind of stuff are hit. So a lot of what we try to do is be friends with our team, right? And we've noticed that it's been helpful. Like it has been helpful, right? But we try to be friendly with our team and be like, hey, what are your goals? Like, how can we get you there? You know, we make it very, very obvious to them that we want to make sure that they're in the best position possible. And we're going to do as best as we can to get them there, right? And what we ask for is that, hey, listen, I know you have to think about you. We have to think about everybody. So just know that whenever we come to you, it's because we want it to win for everybody, not just for you, not just for me. That's not a win. Right, if you win and I lose, that's not a win, right? You got to win and I got to win.
Exactly.
And if we can meet somewhere in the middle where, you know, you can give up a little here, I can give up a little there, we're both on the winning side. Yeah, that's what we try to do, right? So that's how we've approached it. Has it worked? No, but we've also promoted some good people. we've also promoted some good people to senior positions. And we've just kind of... use whenever someone comes up to you and they say, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. I'm always telling John, like, let's not take that opportunity for granted. Let's put them in a position to see if they can do it. And if they can do it, great, they're happy. And if they do a great job, cool, less work for us, right? So it's a win-win, right? And so we've been very, again, blessed with good people who are very eager, who are very forward-thinking, who are way smarter than us. Who are passionate about the business and what we do, this industry, right? So again, blessing is that we've got good people, great people, man.
Yeah. So you live in Whitby, yes. You're the greatest city on the planet, in my opinion.
Of course.
Ajax is terrible. when you're at home, do you have days when you're at home?
I do, yes. Good.
What's a day of relaxation look like
gardening
for you?
Gardening, you know what? I don't mind gardening. I actually like yard work and, you know, mowing the lawn. There's a sense of peace and tranquility when you're listening to the motor of the lawnmower, you know? No, but I actually just lived my an ideal relaxation day this past weekend on Saturday. My wife and my son and I, we went golfing at Deer Creek, you know, staying local, right? Durham. And, you know, just 9-hole, go golfing for a couple hours, grab a nice meal after, go home and just chill, you know? Actually, Saturday I went to the TFC game with my son too. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
There you go.
Father's Day weekend stuff,
sports
right?
Day. Sports
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sport?
To play or watch?
Both. Give us both.
Yeah. Play first.
To play, I would say hockey.
Really?
Wow. Yes, sir.
You grew up playing hockey?
I grew up playing hockey.
Where did you grow up again?
I grew up in North York.
North York and hockey.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I think I was like one of four Asians in our whole league at one point, you know?
Well, but we actually, an indication that I didn't know Asians played hockey at all.
Yeah, so. You should come see our Friday night team, man. It's Asian.
Is there a bar nearby? I'll come and watch 100%. I want to see Asian men playing hockey. I think it'll be funny.
We get chirped a lot because of that, man. Yeah, we can't deny it,
so
man.
So it's an Asian hockey league.
No, it's not an Asian hockey league. Our team is an Asian hockey team.
What's Asian? AHL. Look at that.
But you know what?
This guy.
There is actually an Asian hockey league, but we're not a part of it. I don't know if it's still going on, but there was. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there's like an Asian hockey tournament that happens annually in Scarborough.
Oh, see, that,
yeah.
That,
yeah. Oh, no, that. Not anymore. York University, but yeah, it used to be at Scarborough. So yeah. Don't laugh, man. Asians are pretty good at hockey.
Right. Well, no.
There's a few in the NHL.
It's like someone saying, oh, what do you do growing up? I said, I was a figure skater. Like, no one's ever going to... No one's ever going to figure that out, right? I was shocked.
No. I wouldn't be shocked.
I would be shocked. Okay, so what sport do you like watching?
Watching, I have to say basketball.
Mm. Thank you.
Let's
thank
go
you,
Raps.
You know, the Raptors, 5 years... That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's 5 years. I mean, COVID again.
Yeah.
Made things happen so quickly. But yeah, basketball. Have you been to a couple games?
I was a season ticket holder for the Raptors. We just gave up our season tickets this past year.
You gave them up.
Yeah, because the team sucks.
I'm not giving it up.
I mean, the games are great.
15 years we were season ticket holders. Wow. So we went through some trying times as well. We got in during the trying times. And then, you know, we thought, hey, Time to get out.
Sorry, are you replacing it with another team?
No. I was at the TFC game on Saturday and I was thinking, man, maybe I should look into some TFC tickets, right?
But you know what the problem is? Yeah, it is. Yeah. But the problem is that the MLS season starts so early, like in March. It's cold. I've been to a game
it's cold.
It's bad in March?
It's bad, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, your 3-4 months in the summer and then it's like October, November. And it's cold, man.
It is.
Yeah.
It happens for that long?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first game I went to, I went just with a t-shirt. I froze.
Yeah, it's yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I froze. I was like, "What am I doing?"
Who's watching soccer in March?
But TFC is a vibe. It's nice.
Oh man, yeah. You know what? My son just got into soccer, which is why I'm going to these games. But the crowd there is really lively.
Yeah.
It's awesome for kids and young families, right?
Well, live sports in general is a different beast on its own, right?
I agree.
So you play pickleball.
You know what? I tried the first time about a month ago,
and
pulled my ass muscle.
I know a clinic for you to go to.
Me too. Hopefully it's a good one.
Yeah. It's my favorite. It's my jet. I grew up playing tennis.
It's
so
great.
I love pickleball. I do. I haven't played
Where
in a
do you
while.
Play?
We play all over the place. We should play. We live in Whitby. We should all play together.
Oh, man. The kitchen.
Well,
that's all I know. I don't know any other rule.
No, this guy.
Well, that's why I came. He's in the kitchen.
This guy is always in the kitchen. That's why he wins. Yeah. Cheater. But we haven't played in a few weeks, so we should play.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Definitely should play. Interesting. All right, so basketball. So what's your team? So you said Raptors?
Oh, Raptors all the way, man.
No, you're not. You know? You're not supporting them with the season tickets. Okay,
yeah, you know, but I think they have enough of my money and I contributed enough to their salaries.
Yeah, right.
You had tickets for?
10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah.
We were there.
You probably would never give them up.
Though. Give him 5 years. I'll give him up.
No. I give them to clients, so it's a good little perk.
Yeah.
I used to do the same.
I used to do the same. And, you know, Christmas gifts and stuff like that. It worked out great.
Well, actually, they called me last week to add more seats, but I couldn't get more in my row. So I'm like, no, I'm good.
Where are your tickets?
Section 104.
Nice.
Yeah, row 19.
Nice.
What was yours?
We were 111, row 27.
Okay, I know what that is. Yeah.
We had a corner view.
Yeah.
We would, if I was at that game, I would have seen Kawhi shot perfectly from my view. But I wasn't at that game. What? I was at home.
That shot's bad.
Every time they show that, I remember.
I still get goosebumps. I get goosebumps right now.
It was unbelievable.
The best.
Unbelievable.
The best is when they show the Phillies crowd when that shot went in. Yeah. Oh my God. It was,
the game was here, right? So they show the crowd in Philly, the arena.
Yeah. Were you people at home? There's one guy that broke his TV.
I wonder if that was real though.
I don't know. I know.
All I remember is Kawhi's blue Gatorade tongue.
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
That's a good time. So, sorry, you said you go golfing with the family.
Yeah, it's something cool. That again with my son, you know, he had an affinity to it, and then my wife was like, "Oh, that game looks kind of fun. Can I join in?" We're like, "Of course, right?" So she had her 40th birthday a couple of years ago and bought her a set of clubs, and you know, she wants to use them every now and then. So that's where we go.
That's
right?
Nice.
It's nice. Yeah, it actually is pretty fun.
Now, living in Whitby, you said you moved here in 2021.
Yes, sir.
And you have it any local restaurants? Pretty much outside of where have you been?
Okay. Star Burger.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Classic.
Great poutine.
Recently or in the past?
The past.
In the past. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Brock House. Okay. That's about it.
Okay. So here's the order. Springwood.
Springwood. Okay.
Springwood. Lloyd's Lunchbox.
Yes.
KB.
Yes.
Chook and Pickering.
Okay. Yep. I heard Joseph talking about Chook and the nice steak or whatever, right?
Joseph.
He's hungry. You can tell.
I know. I'm starving right now. Was that your first time having a steak at Chook?
Yeah.
And you had the steak. Was it how black people do it? Well done and charred? And you enjoyed it? Yeah. Interesting. You know, for years, I used to go to steak restaurants all over the world and get my steak
all over the world.
Absolutely burnt. And I know. Trust me. I had chefs come out and say, "Sir, you can't do that." I will do this. I will do this.
I'm paying for it. I'm doing it.
I went to Deerhurst and they're like, I said, "Let me order venison." And I said, I want it well done. The chef's like, "Sir." Came out. He's like, "Sir, I will cook it the way we cook it. If you hate it, it's free."
Oh.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
And
I end up loving it. And then that's when I changed.
That was a turning point.
Now medium rare.
Nice. TSN turning point.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So KB, when you come home, you don't leave your house at all?
You know, my days are long, man.
Right.
You know, I drive into Yonge and Bloor. My days are long. You know? So I try to take it easy when I get home, right?
Well, yeah. Do what Riyadh said restaurant wise. There's some great places. I mean, again, in the next couple of years, okay, even more diverse.
Yes,
restaurants for sure.
Oh, Chatter Paul's. I've been to.
They just closed though.
Well, what?
They closed down.
We can't talk about it.
Right now. Oh, yes. I heard actually. Yes, actually.
That face, right?
Yes.
Okay. We don't know why they
take
closed.
That back.
But
cut it out. Cut it out, Joseph.
Just Google Chatter Paul.
And
there you know, and then you'll know why they closed.
Yes. I did hear.
Yeah, that sauce. Yeah, don't get that sauce. You go to Chatter Paul's, right? So it'd be terrible. Well, awesome. Any other questions, gentlemen? We've asked quite a bit.
That was great.
Social media.
Yeah.
What is it?
You know, okay. Okay. We understand that social media plays a huge role. Okay. But
it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah. And it for us, though, I don't know. I don't want this to come out any ways, but
it will, though.
When you're busy with treating people, it's hard to like think about what's my social media presence going to be like. Well, like, I'm not thinking about it, you know. Yeah. And we got busy days, man. It's hard to think about these things, so we try to outsource it. But you know, outsourcing it means that you need to be connected with someone, and that connection isn't always the best, right? It isn't easy. And
so is there a Rosedale Wellness Center Instagram handle?
There is.
What is it?
Rosedale Wellness Center.
Thank you. So follow.
Yes, thank you.
At Rosedale Wellness Center on Instagram. Do you guys have a phone number or is
we
that
do?
Not going to be a
416-975-0499, 120 Bloor Street East, Toronto, Ontario.
But you're also up here 3 hours a week.
Yes.
In the beautiful city of Oshawa, right by Durham College.
Yes.
right near, well, right near Durham College and Ontario Tech.
Yes.
On Simcoe Street. What's the address?
Remember?
You're putting me on the spot. I'm going to say 1808.
Simcoe. I think it is 1808. I think you might be right. Let's Google it. That's Joseph. Don't you go there?
It's a random guess.
He goes there once a month. He goes there once a month?
About once a month, you know?
What's it called? Are you serious? What's happening here?
That's what I say too, Joseph. Don't worry.
It's not the same one.
It's called Advanced Health, right?
Advanced Physiotherapy.
Advanced Physiotherapy. Is it? Street North. Yes.
There you go. You know where you go.
Yeah.
But I know the turn. I know where to turn. Yeah.
And you're there once a week.
I'm where there once a week, yes.
Oh, what day?
Fridays.
Or like 9 to 12?
You know, I'm pretty flexible, but my official hours, I think, are 3 to 6? 4 to 7? I don't know, but what if someone
so Friday afternoons in Oshawa, 1808 Simcoe Street North at an Advanced
Physiotherapy Health.
I think you need to go see him.
No, I know. Maybe I need to go see you. What is the number one thing people see you for? When you're assessing people, what's the one thing that you're seeing, you know?
The most often?
Yeah, most often.
Neck pain. You talk to old school chiropractors, you know, they're mostly seeing lower back stuff because
everything was manual.
Now everything's technology-based.
Right.
Posture. Bad posture, phones doing this, right? Text neck. That's an actual term. Google it. Cool. Right? Text neck. Yeah. Yes.
What's text neck?
When you're looking down and you're texting. Yeah.
And your neck gets so jacked up and problematic.
Yeah. I look up. That's weird.
You hold it like this?
No, he's old.
Because your glasses, you got to look through the glasses.
My eyes are not that bad. Well, that's interesting. I never heard of that term until just now.
Text neck is a real thing. And there's a lot of research around it. And the bad part is that it's affecting a younger population.
I was watching about the kids and their necks and their hunch from texting and being on computers.
Yeah.
How does a parent manage that?
I don't know. You know, it's tough because school is so, they rely so much on iPads and laptops, everything that forces you into bad posture, right? So how do you avoid it? I think education and awareness, right? And listen, I have a lot more younger patients now. And when I mean younger, I mean 18 and younger, who are coming in with problems that when I first started practice 16 years ago, that was primarily for, you know, like 45, 55 and older, right? So it's scary. It's unfortunate, but it's also a reality of what we do, right?
That's interesting. Any other questions? I'm just dragging this out because I'm enjoying this so much. Oh. Well, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us. Again, his practice is in Toronto.
Rosedale Wellness Center. Yes.
Instagram handle?
Rosedale Wellness Center.
Phone number?
416-975-0499.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Or thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.